Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are going to be looking at the readings for the second Saturday in Easter time and hopefully get back onto a more productive schedule as far as these podcasts are concerned. Just so you know, I am putting in a lot of effort towards getting stuff done. I do have 7 books now finally in print because the final Mary book is written and is out there on Amazon called Digesting the Mysteries. So if you go to Amazon.com, type in Digesting the Mysteries or my name, you'll find that book. You can get a copy of it. It is available on Amazon.com in both Kindle, paperback, and hardback book form. And eventually it will have an audiobook as well. I am also redoing all the previous audiobooks that are out there and working on an audiobook for the Total Consecration book that's also out there in print but does not have an audiobook. That way everything has the same pages, same instructions, same words, more or less, going back and forth between them. So that's kind of a thing on the backside. Mom's still doing okay. I'm about to go ahead and see her today, which is part of the reason why I'm doing this at an odd hour. It's just more or less to get it out of the way so that I have it done. I'm also working on the podcast for tomorrow. So that I have that up and running, so that you have those back. And if I have enough time, hopefully have all the stations, have all the Liturgy of the Hours for the next couple days also put together. I haven't quite figured out the whole how I'm going to do all this, because it's something I can do within a certain period of time, but it takes away from everything else. Other things that I am working on are other books that will be in print. I kind of went through all the ones that I've kind of written out or redone up in some fashion or another, if they're based off other books, that I've taken an outline and kind of fleshed it out with my own thoughts. And I've got right around 15 other books that if I edit them and really seriously take the time to go through them, I could probably have, at this point, 20 to 25 books in print by the end of the year. And that's not counting the redoing of my translation of the Bible, which will be known as the Teshuvat Catholic Bible when it finally hits. So, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the background that have nothing to do with this podcast on some levels, and is part of the reason for the sporadic stuff, and simply just not having enough time between trying to spend some time with Mom as often as I can, because I know that's coming to an end, and also paying bills. I mean, we all got to pay bills. Hopefully within another week, there'll be a web store that will be available. I'm also re-changing, if I can, the payment processor so we don't have to go through alternate stuff and be able to get you stuff a lot quicker. I have a payment processor in mind that if they okay me, I'll be able to get things processed without having huge fees, and also be able to do a little bit of getting stuff to you where I don't have to have $1 million in the bank, but you buying something will not only help me out, but will also get you the item that you're purchasing, because I'm buying it from somebody and sending it to you, type model. And in order for me to afford to purchase the thing and send it to you, I can't go through the wait till you get it phase. I have to have the money to be able to do that, to get it going on. And hopefully that goes well and I get all this worked out between the supplier, the payment processor, so I can put up a web store on dtesh.com. And dtesh.com is still the place where if you go to it, you'll see all these podcasts that are up here. The live ones will be slotted in and put in their own spot. And eventually, I'm still working on these, there'll be a payment area for like a members page where you'll be able to get video teachings and stuff like that, where I'll go through church history, I'll go through prayer, I'll go through how to read Greek or Hebrew and stuff like that, put little classes, if you will, up on there and get those out there. I've also been debating upon having like a mini school-ish type thing put to it, where you can have homeschool lessons, if you will, on the website, to where you could enroll into the school, go through it, and have stuff done and have it checked, to where it's not so much what you write, as long as you write something good and stuff like that. And you'll be able to have your kids do kind of a homeschooling thing with it, and be able to get to the point to where you should be able to pass a GED test. That way, if you don't want to go to public school, you can go there and possibly per kid pay like $100 a year for them to go through the various school levels for accreditation. But that's something that I'm kind of looking into as kind of a thing, and not exactly sure how I'm going to be able to do it, because I'll probably have to hire people to be teachers, if you will, to review the homework at least, and to make sure that if there's any questions, they can be answered. But that's kind of the general idea, just thought process that's going through on there. But those are the things that are in the back of my mind and stuff that we need to get done. So those are kind of the things. Expect those to be put together in near future. But for right now, we want to kind of focus in on our readings for today. And with that, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer and begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. O everlasting and triune God, I consecrate myself entirely to you today. Let all my days offer you ceaseless praise. My hands move to the rhythm of your impulses. My feet be swift in your service. My voice sing constantly of you. My lips proclaim your message. My eyes perceive you everywhere. And my ears be attuned to your inspirations. May my intellect be filled with your wisdom. My will be moved by your beauty, my heart enraptured with your love, and my soul flooded with your grace. Grant that every action of mine be done for your greater glory and the advancement of my salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's first reading is a reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. As the number of disciples continued to grow, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12 called together the community of the disciples and said, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God and serve at table. Brothers, select from you 7 reputable men filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task, whereas we shall devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The proposal was accepted to the whole community, and so they chose Stephen, a man filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicator, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. Even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Exalt you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. give thanks to the Lord on the harp, with the 10-string lyre chant his praises. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Upright is the word of the Lord, and all his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen who made all things. He has shown mercy on all the people. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening, the disciples went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred because of a strong wind that was blowing. When they had rowed out about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near the boat, and they began to be terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at shore, to which they were headed. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel reading is kind of a playoff, you will, of the reading we had before in other Gospels of Peter walking on the water, because Jesus is coming on the water and they're like, "Oh, what's this?" I would imagine that this is pretty much the same kind of story. It's just leaving out the details of Peter walking on the water and all that, probably because it was well known at the time. And it's just one of those things to where it leaves out that middle part of Peter saying, "Hey, if it's you, let me walk on the water. Okay, I'm walking on the water. Oh, I need to get in the boat." Then once they get in the boat, they're unsure. And that's the way God is. God doesn't dilly-dally. He does things the right way. He makes sure that things get to their resulting purpose. And that's what we miss a lot of times. And we miss it because we get busy doing other things. Kind of like me. I've got 40 irons in the fire, as one person once described it this past week. I need to slow down. But I can't slow down, because if I slow down, I stop and I think about things with mom and how I'm losing somebody I love dearly, and how every moment is so precious it's beyond words, because one of these days I'll wake up, I'll get a text, or I'll walk into that nursing home and find that hospice had done everything they could and she's no longer with us. And I don't think she knows half the things I've accomplished. I'm not sure she's aware of all the books that I've written at this point. I know I get scoffed at for it. People don't really know me. And that's more evident the older I get. They know things about me. They know historical facts. They know figures. They know things I've done that are publicly known, and what people say about them, but they don't know the heart. And that's kind of the saddest thing going on here. There's a lot of people in our lives, we know on a surface level what they do. We accuse them of things, but did they actually do it? Even if they were in a situation and it appeared that they might be doing that, did they? I knew a man that was around kids all the time because that was where his job had him. And those kids talked about him in a certain way when they got home, and the parents assumed that the guy was the wrong person. The guy never left his job to do anything inappropriate, but it was spoken of him as if he did. Nobody could prove any wrongdoing. It was just, that's what everybody assumed, and that's what everybody believed, and that was the only narrative anybody wanted to hear. And we find this in public cases all the time. For instance, what do you think of Amber Heard? What do you think of Joe Biden? What do you think of Donald Trump? Brett Kavanaugh? Monica Lewinsky? Bill Clinton? Bill Cosby? See, we always make a judgment about people. And some of these judgments are based on actual deeds that they've actually done. And some are just merely because that's what's reported about them. The Russian tape where there was defecation in a hotel room in Russia never happened. But many people believe that's exactly who Donald Trump is. Was there any real evidence beyond just merely a woman accusing Brett Kavanaugh of doing something inappropriate that legitimately said that 30, 40 years ago he did something inappropriate? I think a lot of us are missing evidence when it comes to those kinds of things. Yet, that's the society we live in, where people will cast you aside and be upset. Be as upset as the people in the first reading that were upset that their widows were not being taken care of. And it's a legitimate thing. And instead of Peter, James, John, Thomas, and all the other apostles doing something directly about it, they hired others. Seven others. One of which was Stephen, the proto-martyr. Then the other famed evangelist, Philip, who had three daughters later in the scripture that were known as deaconesses, probably the first sisters in Christian history. But you see, the thing is, we need to understand our priorities, and we need to know to whom we bow the knee, who we spend our time with. The apostles knew that they shouldn't stop ministering and worshiping God, doing their task as priest, if you will. They knew they shouldn't be waiting tables, doing physical work in the sense that you and I do it every day. So they hired out deacons to assist them in the daily administration of their job. Much like Moses in the 18th chapter of Exodus, having leaders of the tribes of Israel so that he could be the Supreme Court and they could be all the other courts in between. That way, only the most serious matters got to him. And that is something that we can take kind of a refuge in. It kind of explains why there's others in the church beyond just God himself that we can pray to and ask mercy from. Because our situation might not be as important as we think it is. To us, it's everything. But it might just be a ingrown toenail to others. I know my thoughts here today are a little bit scattershot, but that's kind of where I'm at right now, dealing with where mom is and finding comfort in just doing work I don't benefit from because I just put books into print. But hopefully if one day something miraculous happens and somebody actually buys a copy of each one of the books, and I get at least 1,000 of those people to buy out there my books, I would sell 7,000 books in a month. And that would be enough to alleviate a lot of problems that I have right now. But it wouldn't solve the greatest problem, where my mother is and how that situation is eventually going to resolve itself. And that's why I find turning to God more important than anything else, and why I asked you to do the very prayer that I began this reading, understanding with, and consecrate yourself to God. It's something we were taught as kids. And we all know the prayer, you know, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you all my works, joys, sufferings, and everything today in association with or in union with all the masses throughout the world for the glory of God. Amen. You know, that basic prayer. I'm kind of flubbing it a little bit, but you know the prayer. It's the Immaculate Heart of Mary prayer that we are supposed to pray, that we were taught as kids, or most of us were. But it's just, that's where we should be, focusing in on God. Even though everything else does have its level of importance, nothing is ultimately more important than God. And that's the point of gaining the whole world, but losing your soul or not, is whether or not you focus in on God, make Him a part of everything you do throughout the day, or whether you toss Him aside so that you can enjoy a sexual sin, steal, lie, harm others, bear false witness. My dear brothers and sisters, let us be more. Let us do more. And let us help others become more obedient to the faith by our example and by our love for God. And because of God's love, love one another.